Hello, podcasters. How do we change the world? One successful podcast at a time. You're listening to Become a Successful Podcaster with host Bruce Chamoff. Rate him on Apple Podcasts.
You have a podcast? Now it's time to grow it. Build your audience, monetize, and more. It's all about becoming a successful podcaster. Now here's your host, Bruce Chamoff.
Welcome to Become a Successful Podcaster with Bruce Chamoff. We cater to podcasters, helping your show become more successful. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. My special guest is Adrian Miller. For those of you that do not know Adrian, I've been friends with her for 11 years and part of her network, which is called after herself, Adrian's Network. Adrian will tell you more about her sales profession and what she does with her company. But I want you all to know, I am absolutely not the first podcast to have Adrian on as a guest. She's done dozens. So if you're looking for another guest and you have a good fit with Adrian, you can contact her. And what we're going to do is we're going to show her LinkedIn page, because that's probably the place that she's on most on social media. Hello, Adrian.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me here. I love being on podcasts and I love being on your podcast.
How many have you been on so far?
Oh, I don't know. You know, they really took off during the whole COVID thing. You know, yes. I had been on a bunch before, but once COVID hit, it really seemed like a lot of people started podcasting, some to great success and some did not really embark on it, I think, with a full understanding of what marketing realm they were diving into. But I don't know. I probably, there were months that I was on 2 a week, 3 a week, and all different topics. Mostly they'd be looking to me to speak about sales or business development or business networking and content development, sometimes things I can speak on. So they were fun because they're conversations, you know, it's cool. It shouldn't be uncomfortable. It shouldn't be scripted. It should just be fun.
Yes, absolutely. And this podcast is never scripted.
So good. Now, the ones that are scripted are usually somebody is not me, because I can be scripted, but somebody is like kind of reading off of their screen or off of some notes somewhere and it sounds like they're reading. So that can never work.
Yes, and I hate that, but you can always tell when somebody's reading. You've got that, I'm reading this type of voice, and yep. I hate it. Like, welcome to my show, and I'm hoping, and if they pause, it's either they're trying to think of what to say or they're trying to read the next line. But of course, you can always tell. Yeah, I'm the same way. I hate that. I try to practice all my presentations and just wing it. Well, that's not true. If you practice and rehearse, you're not really winging it.
If you practice, you're not winging it.
That's true.
And here's the thing. If you really do know what you're talking about, I think, Bruce, I could give you no warning and then one day call you up and go, oh, my God, Bruce. Oh, my God, Bruce. Oh, my God, Bruce. You got to speak about podcasting. I have 20 minutes. And you'd be able to nail it. Yes. I think people who live and breathe their profession, their business, they really are subject matter experts, can talk about it. They don't need to, I mean, practicing helps us finesse it, but we know the hell what we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. And when you love what you do, you obviously don't even have to read anything because it comes out naturally.
Totally. I agree.
And obviously, when I go to a lot of your meetings in person and obviously online on Zoom, nobody seems to wing anything. It's all good. Everyone knows what they're talking about, which is great. Yeah. And I want to talk to you because you own and you run this amazing business network that I am always proud to be a part of. And I cherish every business relationship that I make from there. So I want to ask you, podcasting and networking. What is your take? How can podcasters network with other podcasters or just business owners and increase their audience?
Oh, well, I mean, that's starting a networking community. If certainly if you're going to network with podcasters, that's a community that you share an important similarity, right? Your podcasters. If you want to network with business owners across a vast diversity of interests, then you've got to figure out what makes this community that you're building different or better, or how can people lean in? Why do they want to join this community? Starting a community is not easy. And it takes a tremendous amount of, like starting a podcast, it takes consistency and commitment and, frankly, hard work. It's networking. And if you're going to start something, you have to work it. The way I started our community, which is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people now, I picked, 15 or 20 people who were my tribe. Okay. They were my people, and I could call them or email them and pretty much ask them anything. And they'd say yes, because they wanted to support me. And I wasn't asking them to do very much. It's not like I was asking them, hey, let's trek up Everest, or run a marathon or anything. It was really a fairly simple ask, and they all agreed. And from that small amount of people, you need a certain amount of critical mass to start, it builds. And yes, from the community, a podcaster can build a bigger and bigger audience. Because so for me, I'm one person. My community has hundreds of people. My database has 10,000 people. It's the LinkedIn world. You know, everybody is worth much more, in very crass terms, if you will, worth much more than just their individual self. I always tell people who network, you shouldn't look at me as you're so excited you want to get me as a client, because I'm worth much more to you as a referral source.
That's a good point. Yeah.
A lot of people, you get business from me, but I can introduce you to so many more people who you can get business from. So you should look at me much more strategically than I can get her I can do her website, or I can write this for her, or I can do this for her. Really? Yeah. Because I could introduce you to many more people.
Well, you know what? It is about community. You said that word. I never, for some reason, the word community is not in my personal vocabulary. Not that I don't understand it or use it. But sometimes you just have your specific words that you use, your go-to words, and you hear somebody else use some other word, like a synonym, and you're like, well, I could use that. And you got to keep using, you got to force it, because these words are habitual, right? You don't bring these words up unless it's a habit of using them. And community for me is one of those words that I'm just not in the habit of using it. But when I find somebody else like yourself, who I respect, who uses it, then you start to wonder, should I be using that word more? Because Adrian's using it. And yes, it is a community. You're building a team of people who are not just a team in the business sense or a sports sense, but people who could all root for each other. And like you said, referrals. Now, you're kind of like the nucleus of Adrian's network, obviously. Otherwise, it'll be called Bruce's Network. No, just kidding.
It only became Adrian's Network because I wasn't smart enough to come up with another name. There are all these really great. Well, I came up with a couple of names, and I don't even remember what they are now. But they were all taken. And
really?
So then I was like,
become a successful podcaster. We'll be right back after these messages.
My name is Tim Wright.
And Brady throws, and that's caught. Goes Tim Wright for the touchdown.
Have you ever experienced open-air listening?
You can really feel the music.
Have you ever wanted more options when it comes to fashion and headphones? Well, now you do. Welcome to the future of sound. The D4 has a four-point speaker system, providing surround sound fidelity. Bluetooth connectivity, dual mics for taking phone calls, a port for audio jack plug-in, and a USB port for charging on the go.
The bass hit me right in the crank.
Like, this sound is crazy.
Yeah, this is dope.
Our unique dome coverage can provide branding, fashion interchangeability, and closed ear noise isolation.
Kind of revolutionary.
This is crazy.
Oh my God.
Who invented these? Like, who's the mastermind behind these?
To learn more about Dome Audio, go to domeaudioinc.com. That's domeaudioinc.com.
Thinking, and I was brainstorming with some people, and a few people said to me, Adrian, why are you going to all this trouble to come up with a name? A lot of people know you. They're going to join, frankly, because of you. And so stick with it. And for a while, that's why I call it A's Net, because it's every once in a while I say Adrian's Network and I get kind of skeeved out. I mean, I feel like I'm so bragging or so focused on me. Anyway, so I didn't come up with any good names that weren't taken. And so I just called it Adrian's Network. And the reason I call it a community versus a group, I have been in a load of networking groups. I was on the board of groups. And it just seemed to me that we're more. We have each other's back more than a lot of the groups I was in. And we have much more bandwidth, ways we touch each other.
Right.
So for me, I use the word community, and it felt good. And, back in the day, Fast Company magazine had something called Company of Friends. And I actually was the New York City coordinator for Company of Friends.
Oh.
For NYCOF, because there were these Company of Friends in cities worldwide. I thought that was kind of a cool thing also. But I obviously I wasn't going to do it for Adrian's Network, but I like community. It kind of feels good to me.
No, I agree with that. And referrals, you mentioned referrals, obviously I think business networking is something that you have to have experience with. I remember when I first went to a business networking event, I didn't realize it was exactly what you were saying. And I think most people feel the same way, that when they go to a business networking event, they're trying to sell their business or awareness or brand and try to get clients right away. And that is the mistake that people make, because when you get experience with business networking, you realize it's more like what you said. Don't worry about the sales. The sales will come. Your clients will come. But you can't have clients until you have a business relationship with that potential client. And the only way to do that is to just show your face more often than not.
Yep.
It could be anything, right? I mean, when Adrian's Network started, it was strictly on the phone, as I recall, and we don't do the phones anymore because we got the Zoom. But I remember, I think I did 4 presentations with you, and my first one, believe it or not, was in the car because it was on the phone. Mm-hmm. I had no visuals because it was in the car. Maybe it was. I was sitting in the parking lot of my orthodontist.
Okay.
not orthodontist. I'm sorry. My periodontist.
Okay.
Gosh, I don't have braces now. I had an orthodontist when I was 15. No, my periodontist. And I was about to have a deep cleaning. So I showed up early and I just gave my presentation. But now, obviously, even before the pandemic, Zoom became very popular, but the pandemic made it more popular.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, I forgot what the business networking event was. It was in the Panera somewhere. I think it was West Babylon, New York. And for those of you that don't know where West Babylon is, that's in Long Island. I remember this one woman, she obviously was brand new. And there were basically a circle of 5 of us talking. We were just talking. Nobody was trying to sell anything or get clients. This woman comes in the middle, butts into the conversation, and has her business card stacked in her hand. And she goes, here's my business card. Here's my business card. My business card. My business card. My business card. I know that woman's not going to get a client because that's the way you turn people off. So I realize that, you know, and I think that most of the people I've met through your group, I didn't get sales from, but I enjoy the relationship I have with them. So it's like you said, I'm part of a community, and I feel that if these people are not my clients, then they technically are my friends who can become a referral point, like you said. So yeah, I agree with that 100%.
It's, yeah, you can't be short-sighted. The same type of hard nose, I don't get it type of strategy, it exists on LinkedIn as well. I mean,
yes.
How many of those direct messages do you get from people who don't know you at all, who are trying to sell you their stuff? And my favorite for me, saying favorite very facetiously, are the folks who send me a direct message and go, hi, I really want to connect with you. Or I have already connected with them. And the first message from them is, hi, I work with coaches. I'm not really a coach. I work with coaches, helping them to expand their business, you know, grow it 50 times over in the course of a month. By the way, how long have you been in business? And I usually just delete them. Every once in a while, I'll write back and I go, you didn't even bother to read my profile.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't bother to read my profile. So there's a lot of people who are very short-sighted and they do things in a haphazard way. But the truth is, Bruce, just the same way when you get one of these scammy emails that say to you, if you only mail them $5,000, you're going to get $100 million from your dead uncle in some unknown country. There are people who respond to these things, and I'm sure that once in a while they get a client and stuff like that, but doesn't work for me, doesn't work for you, doesn't work for the vast majority of people. It's, you know, networking is building relationships. Sales is building relationships. That's the way it is, and that's all I can say about it, tell you the truth.
Yeah, so let's say that one of those people, in your example, actually read your profile, because you were saying, hey, you didn't read my profile, right? So I'll delete you. So let's say that I don't know you, and I want to connect with you. I read your profile. I know a lot about you. What's the correct way to get your attention without you deleting them?
Well, for me, I mean, and honestly, for LinkedIn, I'm pretty loose when it comes to accepting people. I know you talk to Mark, and he really doesn't, unless he either knows you or he'll email you back or message you back and say, why do you think we should connect? That kind of stuff. I don't actually do that. But connection requests for me, first of all, I do look at the person's profile, but somebody who sends along a message and says, and references, I got one today who referenced an article I posted and said, I really agree with you, and gave it a more substantive comment in her request to connect with me. And I think we're coming at a lot of things with a very similar perspective. Would love for us to be connected so we see each other's stuff. They actually took some time to write that, and I was impressed by that. I pretty much always send a message when I go to connect with someone, and I tell them why. I really do. I don't send out hundreds upon hundreds of connection requests every day. I will connect with someone who doesn't send me a message, but I will look at their profile, and I'll see, you know what? I would like them to be part of my LinkedIn community. I'd like to show up on their newsfeed every once in a while. I'm not as rigorous as some people, but I'm not as loose as some other people. So I kind of fall right in the middle. And I'm looking to expand my brand, establish visibility and recognition. I don't see LinkedIn as a direct conduit to revenue-producing work. I'm perfectly comfortable with the positioning I have on it. And so be it, you know?
Absolutely. Well, you have a very unique and respectful take on everything, which is, you know, just why I'm always starstruck talking to you, which is an absolute compliment to you. And that's no secret. Now, I do want to take this time to share my screen and show everybody some of Adrian's world online. So first of all, Here is her LinkedIn. If you like what you hear and you want some sales help, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, you can actually connect with Adrienne, but of course, don't send her that email that will make her delete you, like she just said. So she just gave you the way to connect with her, which is great. And then we have her network, Adrienne's network, which is, it has everything here from the schedule to the members to how membership works. And of course, there's a blog here as well. Adrienne did ask me, in my previous life as a web developer to redesign her website. And I just couldn't take the business at the time. So Adrienne found somebody else and they did a fantastic job.
Our webmaster, Jeff, you know that.
Oh, Jeff did it. Oh, yes, Jeff did. Okay, yeah. That's great. But you did come to me, which I absolutely appreciate. Yeah, because I just don't do websites as much as I did after 26 years. But so anyway, he did a fantastic job and I do appreciate you asking me first. Now we go to Adrienne Miller, her company website. You can tell I did my homework. But then again, it's not really homework because I've known all this all along. And Adrienne, this is her business. You can find out more about Adrienne Miller and what she does. If you need this for your podcast, she does have a couple of business models that help. And then, of course, this other one that I want to share with you, but I can't get to it because the Zoom thing is in the way here. Let's see if I can click on it. There we go. So her book, The Blatant Truth, which I still haven't read yet, but I will because I have to. I'm just not really much of a book reader. I'm more of a video watcher now. But I do respect the fact that she came out with this book years ago called 50 Ways to Sales Success. And when I first met Adrienne, this is one of the first things that she mentioned. So obviously, it's a paperback. It is online.
It's really a perfect book for someone who doesn't want to sit down and read this ponderous, lengthy book. Because when I say 50 ways to sales success, each one of the ways is about between 2 and 4 pages. And so you don't have to read the whole book. You can look in the table of contents and say, hey, you know what? I really want to know more about how I can be a better closer or probing or how I can psych myself up to do proposal, whatever it is. And I cover pretty much all the basics. So you click on that and you read about it and hopefully you get some tips, but you'll also get a little motivated. I read a lot of business books.
Yeah.
And for me, sometimes I'll have one tiny takeaway and that's enough, or it'll just be motivating for me. You know, we have a book club in Adrienne's network and I find it very helpful. It's really fun to talk about the books with other members.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was one more. The website I worked on was This Entrepreneurial Life, which was a very interesting take. What I thought, now this is a community. This is exactly a good example of a community. So what Adrienne did, she telling all the audience members, what she did was she had all the members of Adrienne's network log in to this website, write up articles on all types of different ways of promoting your business online and branding and social media and just stories mostly. And I wrote about, I don't know, I wrote about 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, put the website together. Thank you. Put the website together. And then what she's going to do is she's going to turn the whole website into a book. How's that going, by the way?
Well, it is, it's moving. It's got a whole completely different life of its own right now. Moving from that to a book, a real book. Then I had to learn about the complication of getting people to submit their chapters. And, you know, we're using a regular publisher and getting the cover done and getting a foreword done. And
nice.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's going to be nice. The other site. The other thing I do, because I do a ton of writing, is I have a content development company. So here's what I found.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Well, I found from doing a lot of the podcasts, there are a lot of really good podcasters, and they're great on the video part, and they're great on the technology of doing it, but they're really not great, I hate to say it, on marketing their podcast and or doing any kind of social media for maybe their other business. and getting themselves some visibility and recognition through writing. So I never started to write. I didn't never meant to have a content development company. I never did. But what happened is a lot of people started asking me to write their stuff. And all of a sudden I said, well, you know what? I have a company. I should do this. Why am I holding back from doing this? So I started writing people's content. And that's a big part of my business now. It really is.
What's the company called?
WordsWorkCopywriting.com.
WordsWorkCopywriting.com. Okay. Yeah. Let's bring that website up.
I have to tell you, I really don't like that website. I need to do something to it. We all know we're busy. Right. Words work.
Right. Work. I was going to say
copywriting.
Okay. Let's go there. Oop, did I type it in wrong?
You spelled words work writing, WRI.
Oh. Okay, hold on. Try this again. Okay, here we go.
There we go. There it is. And that's been so much fun, mostly because I like to write. So
that's good.
Yeah, it really has been. So I'm very lucky. I'm not very lucky. I work really hard. Successful. I'm trying to come up with words. I'm successful at doing the things I love to do. Maybe that's a blog post, because I'll tell you where I would be very unsuccessful. I'd be really unsuccessful being an accountant. I'd be really unsuccessful being anything to do with finance, actually, or technology. Yeah, you would. So the things that I don't necessarily like to do, but realize they're important, so I hire people to do them, those would not be something, I couldn't force myself to do that work. People sometimes wind up doing this job or have developed this business and they don't even like what it is they do.
Yeah.
How horrible is that?
No, I hear you. And believe it or not, I wanted to be an accountant when I was in college, and I changed at the end of my sophomore year after taking a few accounting courses, which just as a coincidence. So, my father was a CPA, and he had me, believe it or not, he trained me on how to do income tax forms when I was just 8 years old. And I don't know if I ever told you that. And I said, I really love doing it, filling the forms out. I'm good at math. Yeah, that's the path for me. I'll become an accountant, right? I had no idea what marketing was at the time. So I said, oh yeah, Dad, I love it. I love you, Dad. I love it. I'm going to follow in your footsteps. He was happy. You know how that goes, right? I get into college. I take accounting 1 and 2, the basics. I loved it. I found the debits and credits very easy. For some strange reason, when I took intermediate accounting, my mental capabilities just shut down. It was like, and then at the same time, I was taking introduction to marketing, and I'm like, oh, I could do this. I can enjoy this. And I really took a fascination into that, and it's the path I changed into. But so can I do accounting? I probably can. Would I like it? Probably not.
And I'm not saying people can't change paths at any given time. Of course we can. And certainly so many people did during COVID and all the rest of that stuff. But I just, to spend your day kind of in a job or running a company, doing a business, doing a profession, there's so many. I mean, I can't tell you how many lawyers just hate it. They really hate what they do. And they're either locked in because they spent so much time in law school and all the rest of that stuff, or they make a lot of money and they can't back away from that now because of their lifestyle, their family situation, whatever. To me, there is nothing that defines the existence of being in hell than spending your entire day toiling at something that does not give you pleasure.
No, you're absolutely right. I agree with that.
I'm not saying you have to be screeching, passionate, jumping, but gives you some modicum of pleasure.
Well, you know what it's like. we never know what it's going to be like until we get there. You know, you don't know what the room is like until you walk through the door. So, and right. I have a friend of mine that doesn't like accounting, but like you said, he doesn't know how to do anything else. And he's good at accounting. I just doesn't like doing it, but I don't think he became an auditor, right? So you can go, maybe auditing's a little different than accounting, but still an accountant when you audit. He's took that path, and I think he's a little happier now, you know, so it's really good. But so just want to get into Wordsworth copywriting. Obviously, these are the services, and I love to promote you, Adrian, because you're always promoting me, and one good turn deserves another. But I do want to let everybody here know that Adrian, obviously, you heard so much about what she does. And I'm just going to reiterate, and I probably will miss a few things because, well, she's such a versatile person. And I mean that from the heart. So first of all, and first and foremost, she is Adrian Miller. I might get the order wrong, but she's Adrian Miller, sales consultant and sales trainer. And she's gone. I mean, this is your profession, so I'm always bringing that up first. And then, of course, you got the content development, which you had this extra page. I'm sure it goes to Wordsworth copywriting somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then she's the owner of Adrian's Network. So she's got a networking group that is still flourishing on its 11th year right now. And I don't see that stopping. Then, of course, she came out with the book Blatant Truth almost 15 years ago, which is incredible. And yes, I will have to read this because I learn a lot about you. And then you got the copy management company here. So there's so much you do and you are a very hard worker. And of course, Adrian has, she's also you're also a world traveler with her husband. I know that because every other month how many times a year do you travel?
Well, before COVID, I take, every other month, we take 8 weeks and we spread it out and we'll go overseas a couple of times and we'll do some domestic stuff, maybe to South or Central America. Travel's always been really, really important to me. Yes. COVID was really a problem. But last week I was away and I have two more trips coming up, one overseas, my first trip back to Europe. Travel's important. So yeah. I work really hard, but I spend a tremendous amount of time in pleasurable pursuits. I travel. I go to the theater a ton now that Broadway's open again, thank goodness. I see my family a ton. I run every day, so I do the health thing. You know, everyone always says, do you have a life? When they find out you work hard, they go, oh, well, you don't have a life. First of all, I think that's a rude statement. And of course I have a life. I think people who work hard have also figured out really excellent time management.
Oh, you have to.
I mean, I do a tremendous amount of work, but I figured out how to do it and travel and see my kids and see my granddaughter and go to the theater and, you know, jog every day and do all those things. There's enough time. You just have to figure out how to work your time.
Yes. Time management is also another thing that's hard to do for a lot of people. Sometimes I'm good at it and sometimes I'm not good. But yeah, no, you're right. The harder you work, you obviously have to figure out the work-life balance, which is not easy for most people because you're the hard worker or you're a family person. But when you have to do both, it's called the balance for a reason. That is excellent. Well, that's what I want to talk about today with Adrian. And again, rate us on Apple. If you have any questions, let Adrian know. If you're looking for her services, again, you can go to her LinkedIn profile or adrianmiller.com. And that's it. Adrian, anything else you'd like to say to anybody? Everybody.
No, this was great. It was fun. It was just like having a conversation, you know,
it was
sitting across a table and drinking coffee or something like that. I actually have that right here. But yes, it was great. It's always good to talk to you, Bruce.
All right. You too, Adrian. And we will talk soon.
Thank you so much.